Today is October 27th, 2021. This is episode number 558 of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief of the Mac Observer. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot me a note at macobserver.com/contextmachine. That'll take you over to our Facebook group where apparently Facebook is manipulating all of us in very negative ways. Isn't that great? And today, my very good friend Jeff Gammon is joining me. Jeff?
Ryan, first, it's awesome to be here. But second, when you got to the part where you were saying and Facebook is manipulating us in negative ways, I was fully prepared for you to slide into introducing me by saying, and speaking of influencing us in negative ways, here's Jeff Gammon. Missed opportunity,
man. Man, that's a missed opportunity. My goodness.
Yeah, Brian, you're getting soft.
I'm getting soft and weak in my old age, not to mention slow. Not slow is today's sponsor. That's Coinbase. I'm very excited to have a crypto sponsor. Going to tell you about Coinbase. Going to tell you about how to get $10 in Bitcoin for free later. Pretty excited by that. First, Jeff, look, we're going to – I know that you have a hard out. Also, still what she said. And so let's get right to the topics.
I was really trying to not laugh because I only encourage you.
I know. It's a bad thing to do. And we didn't talk about what we're going to talk about before the show. But my idea was we'd start off with Adobe because I know that you recently attended Adobe's big mega annual announcement thingy thing.
Oh, right. And the fact that we didn't discuss ahead of time what we're talking about on the show, I can summarize by saying top men.
Absolutely. The toppest of men.
Yeah.
It's so like how much more top can they be? And the answer is none. None more top.
Yeah. The top men who are on the top, on the highest thing, on top of that, wearing top hats. That's how top men
wear. That's how top. Absolutely. So, Adobe, right? They did some stuff?
They did. All right. So, first, you know how when Adobe switched to the Creative Cloud subscription model so that they could roll out new features all year long instead of making you wait for big announcements?
I got to fix that for you. Do you remember when Adobe moved to a subscription model because they'd much rather have regular income than to be dependent upon the upgrade cycle? Yes. Yes, I do.
All right. I'll accept that. Yeah. The judges accept that interpretation. So they did that. But we have Adobe Max, which is the annual conference, everything creative, Adobe focused, and it's actually a really good conference to if you're into using any of Adobe's products. But the point is, they're still doing the thing where they do all these big product announcements at an annual event, instead of just rolling everything out throughout the year as they get the features ready to go. And I'm finding that kind of funny and ironic. But yes. That said, it was interesting to get to see all of these features that they're talking about now before they were officially announced, simply because you know, got to see all this stuff. But my big takeaway was that Adobe has two key focuses across their entire product line this year. And the first one is more AI machine learning built into their products.
Okay.
We'll talk about that. But the other thing.
And was not just as a catchphrase?
Not just as a catchphrase, Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And okay. And so that was a really big thing for me. Otherwise it would just be like, yeah, yeah. It's like saying we have AI and machine learning and blockchain and blah, blah, because those are used as buzz phrases for products. No blockchain though, just so you know. But then the other thing was, they're really honing in on collaboration, which to me totally makes sense. And because of the cycle for features, uh-huh. my guess is that they already had a roadmap for more remote collaboration in their apps before the pandemic hit, but that gave them an opportunity to really start diving deeper into this.
Sure.
And so anyhow, the whole AI thing, I guess that's where we start, since that's what I brought up first. Photoshop is really Adobe's flagship product. So they spent a lot of time talking about that. And this is one of the places where AI and machine learning can really shine in a productive way, because they're doing a lot more this year with automatic and smart selecting of objects. So as an example, if you go and look at the article that I wrote for you, Brian, I wrote you an article.
I know, but you're telling everybody, you're telling all the people about it.
Yes. And so now I'm telling them, go look at the article, because I have some images in there. One of them, it's three horses and one of them is blue. And that image, it's the blue for the horse. That's a mask layer that was created without the user having to do anything other than just kind of like roll their mouse over where the horse is. And it just automatically had a mask. And that in and of itself is going to save people tons of time. And actually, now that I think about it, it's going to save me tons of time, because you and I do have a history of you periodically reaching out and saying, I've got this image, I need this part. Yeah, I can't figure out how to do it.
I'm terrible at doing masks. And I'm looking at the image you got, and I see horsehair that's not included in the mask.
Sure. Well, keep in mind that what I saw was a beta. And so some of that horsehair is not included in the mask. But if you have a mask that's generated that covers as much of that horse as it does, and, you know, there's just some of the mane, little bits of the mane that are sticking out, that's a lot easier to fix than trying to mask that whole horse yourself.
True. I'm not trying to be a nitpicker.
So that's okay, because what you're looking at is what I would expect most people to look at and say, well, it's not perfect. So what good is this for me?
But hold
on. For me,
that's mm-hmm. not what I'm looking at. What's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that doesn't look like.
Oh, come on,
that
let hard me put words in your mouth.
Anyway, like I feel like I could have done that with the current Adobe tools. Am I missing something there?
Well, yes. What's happening is Photoshop is now identifying objects. So when you go to just create that mask, mm-hmm. you're creating a mask where it's building out from, in that case, browns, because it's a brown horse. What Photoshop is doing is saying, that's a horse. That's a unique object in this image. Let me create a mask for that horse. And then it sees there are two other horses. So now it makes a mask for each of those horses, each on their own layer.
Okay. And that's all great and everything. But again, looking at this is an image that they supplied, right?
Yes.
So not only is there mane that's not included in the mask, there's background that is included in the mask. And how is that good?
Well,
right. Do you see what I'm saying? If you look,
I totally get what you're saying.
Okay.
And the good part is it's a system that has the potential to save time for people that are doing these things all the time. And
I hear you, but this is their like best of the best example that they could show. That's also, I mean,
yes.
So do you really think this is going to be a thing? So
it's going to be a thing.
Okay. I trust you.
It is. Now, I love actually that the image that I have, and this is something that came directly from Adobe. Mm-hmm. This image is not perfect. And I love that instead of doing the PR focused thing where it's, let's show people the most perfect scenario for this so that it looks so perfect that it's almost unbelievable. And instead they did a real world image where the mask, just from rolling over it, it's not perfect. I mean, it's cool that it was like, oh, hey, here's a horse. I think I've got the whole horse. It's not perfect. I like that for once, here's a company that wants to show us everything in the most perfect light. They're like, here it is.
And, okay, but what if this was the most perfect light?
Then that would be a problem.
Okay.
Now, and keep in mind that this is a technology that is going to evolve or continue to evolve, because Adobe's been using machine learning in their products for a couple of years now. Now that I think about it, when I was still working with you, I wrote an article about Adobe's Sensei AI technology, which is their machine learning, when it was coming out. So it's been a few years. So it learns, it gets better, and it's definitely better than it was. And keep in mind, a lot of the stuff that Adobe was showing was beta, and a lot of the features that Adobe is rolling out right now are beta, which to me is just actually kind of crazy. You have a system where you can roll stuff out throughout the year. Why are you making these big announcements with features that actually aren't completely finished yet and rolling them out? Use the system you created and roll them out throughout the year when they are ready.
Okay. Well, do you remember earlier when I was snarky about their subscription model?
Uh-huh.
The flip side of my snark is that they have indeed done a good job of continually rolling out new stuff.
They have.
Right. So that wasn't just cover to get to subscription and, you know, recurring and regular revenue. It wasn't just cover for that. They have actually followed through with what they said they were going to do. And I 100% give them credit for that.
And that's great. I'm with you on that. Okay. I have an example where their AI machine learning system, it in beta is so fracking crazy awesome that had I not been able to watch it in action, I would not have believed it. It was actually doing what they said. So Premiere Pro, you can do audio editing of tracks in there. Common problem with videos is you have a segment that's a specific length. The music that goes with it doesn't match. Like, it's too long. So how do you fix that? Well, do you just cut it off? Do you fade it out? Do you try and clip part of the middle out? What do you do to make it sound right? Well, Adobe's answer this year is let their system use its AI machine learning stuff and analyze that music track and intelligently cut pieces out so that the end piece is the correct length for the video segment you have, and so that the song still sounds right. And it works in real time, And I swear I could not hear where the edits had been made. And I'm looking at the audio track, and there's a little visual indicator, you know, like a little zigzag line in that audio track to show where it made its little cuts. And I'm watching, and I see the playhead hit that and keep going, and I cannot hear the edit. I mean, it is that good.
Interesting.
It's crazy what they're doing with that. And then they're also using it on the video side. You can now make animations, like animated characters, directly in their tools. Like in Premiere. So instead of having to go to Photoshop and Illustrator and make all of the art elements that go along with your animation characters, you can just build characters directly in your video.
And then
you can animate them, or you can have them track an actual person's movements, and then you can take your script and have it convert that so that the mouth movements are in sync with the words. And it's just, it's like doing this stuff.
And I'm sorry. So you say that, I want to clarify, you're saying that you can essentially click a button and it'll be synced.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah. So anyhow, they're doing really cool stuff. And I get why there's a lot of people that are frustrated because of the subscription model, but I think that subscription model did set up a business model so that Adobe could like really push forward with a lot of these features. And yes, you can go out and get stuff like Affinity Photo and use that as a Photoshop alternative, or Pixelmator Pro. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's, they don't have the resources that Adobe has. And that's why Adobe is doing the stuff they are with machine learning and artificial intelligence. Yeah. So do you have questions about any of the apps and features, or do you want me to talk some now about the collaboration things they're doing?
Well, so one of my pet peeves with Photoshop, and I do like Photoshop. I am a subscriber. I'm not a shareholder, just for the record, is that they seemingly, it's on my side, it seems random, but at the very least, pointlessly reorganize the tool palettes constantly.
Oh, isn't that frustrating?
Like, I don't I've never noticed an improvement in those reorganizations. It's just different. And that's super annoying when it comes to adding a learning curve where you don't need a learning curve. There's just no need for it.
It's frustrating. Like super frustrating. And so I am totally with you.
Did they mention like in this rollout, here's all the random tool palette stuff we're going to change.
Yeah. And then they laughed and, and clinked their glasses and drank to our pain. It was refreshing to see them be so honest. No, they didn't. So in the past they have talked about the palettes and menus and stuff getting jumbled around, and their reason that they gave in the past was that they were slowly working on getting all of their apps to be in alignment. So a feature that you use in one app that you have in another app, you know, like a selection tool that works the same across all the apps, and you find it in the same place across all the apps.
I support that.
I totally support that, but I don't feel like that's really what we've gotten.
Yeah, because you can just do that and be done with it. And instead, right. it seems like there's this constant iteration of tool palette layouts, and that's not syncing stuff up. I almost had to beat myself.
I Yeah, good save. And I'm totally with you. Now, I have a hypothesis about part of the reason why we might be experiencing that. And I'm not saying this as an excuse. It's just a hypothesis I've come up with. Mm-hmm. There's another thing that Adobe started doing this year, which is Photoshop as a web app. Mm. And so what I mean is you've got Photoshop on your computer. And then this kind of ties into the collaboration thing as well. Okay. Let's say that you want to let me make some minor edits or some comments and suggestions on a piece that you're working on. And so you send me a link to open, and it opens in a web browser. And now I have the Photoshop interface in my web browser.
Okay.
And now I can actually work on this document as if I'm in the Photoshop app. It just happens to be in a web browser instead. And when they showed this, and now, and this is definitely beta, and so it's a subset of Photoshop features right now. But when they showed it, my first thought was, oh, I'm looking at Photoshop on the iPad. It's just in a web browser mm-hmm. now. And I have a feeling that part of what they were doing without telling us this is what they're doing is moving stuff around so that it's easier for them to have a consistent look from a native app to a web browser app.
This has been going on for years.
I agree. And it is frustrating. And it's frustrating. We almost had another edit point right there. I'm totally with you. It's stupid frustrating. Don't even get me started on Acrobat. I mean, that runs like it's not like its own team. It runs as its own team and does its own thing and screw everyone else. Acrobat, it doesn't even need to have the Adobe name on it because it is so different from everything else that's being done. But
at least it's incredibly dense and difficult to get around them.
Okay. So at least there's that.
Yeah. Got to look on the bright side.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. You're right. I'm way too negative.
All right. So was this announcement mostly about adding more machine learning tools, or did they announce some specific features that we're going to care about?
The features that you're going to care about and they tie into machine learning, it's taking tools that they already have and making those tools do more of the stuff for you. So like direct selection tools mm-hmm. And masking tools and brushes that can be more responsive, like another thing they're doing, you can take images and composite them together. So like, let's say you have a headshot of someone mm-hmm. and it needs to look like it's in, Apple's Secret Labs.
Okay. Sure.
Or it's outside at the park. Okay. So you take the person and, you know, now they've been cut out from their background and you pop it into the other image, your colors and lighting don't match mm-hmm. because it was different setups. Photoshop now just fixes that for you.
Wow. That would be cool. Well, sort of. It does mean more shenanigans.
It does. But at the same time, Adobe, they've been working on a thing for a little while now where you can have authentication for mm. images and other documents. And they're rolling out as one of their beta things, this whole system where you can have this validation for the images that you're creating. So that someone can take an image and there's a website that Adobe's created where you then pop this image in and it's like, oh yeah, this is the image that Brian made. And here's the original images that it's composited from.
Nice.
And here are all the steps that he went through in Photoshop or Illustrator, whatever, to turn the image into what it is.
Oh, that and, is kind of, I don't want anyone knowing my secrets. Well, you rock at masks. I rock at putting stuff together to make a point.
Okay, well, then turn that off. So it'll just say, and Brian made a bunch of edits.
I see.
So you can turn off different parts of this. And anyhow, so it's a way where people can verify that the image they're looking at is actually what they think it is.
Well, that's good. I hope that works, and I hope that they actually launch it.
It's in testing right now, mm-hmm. and well, actually, since Adobe Max is already underway, you can actually go to the website, and if someone is using the new version of Photoshop, where they can have all this data embedded, then yeah, you can look at it. So, of course, there are countless images out on the web where you really won't be able to validate them.
Yeah.
But now that this is a thing you could do, we'll start seeing more images and where you actually can verify them.
The reality is that the people who most need to validate the images that they're looking at are the people least likely to do so.
Yeah.
So that's
cool. But imagine, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But imagine being, say, in a newsroom.
Yeah.
And having an image where you're like, this looks legit, but I'm not sure. And then you go and look at the metadata.
Now you got to worry about false negatives. False negatives would be way more dangerous than false positives.
Well, what you would get is something that says, yeah, we don't have any data on this image.
No, but I'm saying that if it actually passed the validator, especially as people start trying to manipulate this, right?
Oh, no, that's not what this does. This shows you the metadata trail of the image. It's not like you pop the image in and it says, oh yeah, this is legit. So if you take an image that's totally been faked but looks real, and it doesn't have any of that data attached to it, pop it into the system, it's just going to say, I don't have any data on this.
I see.
And it won't tell you, oh, this one's fake or it's been modified.
See, which makes is less useful than I thought you were describing, but is probably going to be far more reliable. And so from that standpoint, that's probably reliability for a feature like that is definitely important.
Yeah, I agree. And if you are creating an image, say, as a journalist, and you're doing some edits on it, then you can create transparency for your audience by having all of that data in there. So they know exactly what you did.
Are they, did they officially announce, the influencer brush or the catfish brush? You know, the make me skinnier, eliminate the lines of my face, maybe enhance certain parts of my body.
Your lips, that's what you're thinking.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, because at this point, filters from Snapchat, they started it. Snapchat and TikTok and Instagram Reels, those filters are what all of the youths are, they're all about.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. They should have announced that, huh?
The big time quote unquote influencers, the Kardashians of the world, the folks who have, put together you know, multi-million dollar, multi-10 million, multi-100 million dollar empires based on this stuff. They've actually got teams that are doing stuff using Photoshop.
Right. And I'm assuming that's what you're doing too, because I mean, the photos of you on the web are luscious.
They're so not. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, yeah, they should have announced that filter pack and then Adobe could have made millions.
Right. Now, but it's interesting though. Did you not see social media oriented features announced for Photoshop?
Not really.
That's interesting. That's interesting to me. I'm like, are they missing the boat, or have they decided that they're not going to get that segment of the market is not going to make them any money anyway?
That's a really good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I will say that one of the long-standing complaints about Photoshop that I've seen is that you can't just directly export a GIF or GIF, depending on your choice of pronunciation. And you still have to go through their whole creator process thing to make that image or that file. And they did not fix that this year either.
Who's doing GIFs? What does that have to do? What does that have to do with the price of beans and on a bacon hill? That's what the kids say. Well, the kids are always talking about the price of beans on a bacon hill.
You know, I am so glad you're on top of the lingo these days.
Oh yeah, super sharp.
Okay, so here's why this matters on the bean hill. People make memes all the time that include GIFs or GIFs, animated GIFs, and
oh, so you're just referring to the meme world. Got it. Duh.
Yeah, which is a big part of social media.
Super slow. All right, listen, again, not super slow. Let me tell you about my sponsor, Coinbase. Do you identify as crypto curious? If you thought about entering the world of cryptocurrency but felt a little overwhelmed, Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple. Cryptocurrency might feel like a secret or exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone, everywhere, should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or just getting started, Coinbase can help. This is one of those lovely circumstances as a podcast where a company or service or product that I really like is sponsoring the show. It's a real privilege. I've been using Coinbase for years. I purchased cryptocurrency through Coinbase. Super easy to use. I really like it. I trust them. They're a public company. They've been around for many years now. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy to use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. They support the most popular digital currencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify, you're just getting started, or you're searching for a better way to access crypto markets, you can start today with Coinbase. And for a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/ACN. That's right. Because you are listening to this podcast, you can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/ACN. Now, of course, this offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/ACN. And again, it's a company that I've been a customer of for many, many years. Shortly after they came on the market, I believe, is when I became a member. Coinbase is the real deal. they do make it simple to buy and sell cryptocurrency. I very much like it if you check them out. And again, one last time, you can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/ACM. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show. Okay, Jeff, thank you very much for catching us up on the Adobe thing. Really, really appreciate you doing that.
Sure. I have one follow-up bit on that for you.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, please.
Collaboration.
Yes.
I like where they're going with it, and I see some cool things happening with being able to get feedback and stuff on your images. But for teams that are working together on creating whole projects, the stuff that Adobe announced sounds really cool, but I fear in its current state, in real-world use, it'll just be a hot mess. So I can't wait to see how that plays out. Okay, that's all I had.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen.
Had you not picked up what I put down, I would have been so disappointed.
Okay. I apologize to everyone for that, though. Again, thanks for catching us up on the Adobe stuff. I very much appreciate your expertise here. You've been following Adobe closely for many, many years, and you did a lot of coverage for us at the Mac Observer, and including this article this week, so I appreciate it. And I appreciate it. And I appreciate it. And I appreciate it, Jeff.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, so
that'll work great with the edits.
What's that?
That works great with the edits.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and we are actually going to be running up against your, that's what she said, hard out. So
people are shaking their head at you right now.
I know, and it completely deserve it. So, again, we didn't actually talk about what we were going to talk about, which is something we don't normally do. But I thought like Apple Monterey shipped. Apple announced new laptops since we talked, and the new processor since we talked, and my Apple Watch is out like somewhere in between here and China.
What color?
Stainless steel. I got stainless steel.
Oh, okay. Cool. What size?
The large one.
Okay. I figured, but, now everyone knows.
Yes. Yeah. So did you want, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Monterey? You want to talk about, processors or laptops or notches?
Or notches.
Jeff Butts in the morning meeting today mentioned that some people are finding menu items that are essentially obscured by the notch.
Yes, and
the new MacBook Pros.
Yeah, which look like just awesome machines. Yep. And at the same time, I have serious frustrations with some of the choices. But yeah, the notch. I saw stuff going up on the social medias on Tuesday where people were like, hey, look, you know, my menus ran into the notch, and then my menu bar items, you know, the little icons, they ran into the notch also. And this is a hot mess. Yeah. And
the operating system is not properly adjusting for the notch. And I'm assuming it'll be fixed in an update, and this will quickly be not an issue.
I assume so. And so my assumption before these shipped was that on launch day, we'd be seeing the videos that we started seeing, and that Apple would have to do some adjustments, and developers would have to do some updates. And when all of that comes together, then the problem goes away. And so I'm expecting for the next several weeks, this is going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And 6 months from now, it will just be one of those things where everyone's like, well, you remember how that was such a mess with the notch except when it first rolled out?
No one's even going to do that.
Yeah. Well, we will.
So, I mean, and the reality is Apple should have dealt with this ahead of time. And they should have. It either should have been solved ahead of time, or it should have been, keep in mind, there's going to be some issues as developers adjust to this. You know, but we put out the tools, and you know, all that you have to do is recompile or whatever, right? I mean, like, it shouldn't be an issue, but at the same time, it's not going to be an issue for very long.
Well, Apple telegraphed this problem before the new computer shipped, but after they were announced, that they had developers, their own developers on social media talking about the notch and how developers, third-party developers, were going to need to look at what they're doing with their menus. And if you have a ton of menu items that go across the menu bar, maybe it's time to look at consolidating some things so you have fewer items in the menu bar, which I guess would mean more drop-down menus inside the menus that are there. And so when I saw that whole Twitter thread about that, I was like, yeah, Apple already knows this is a problem. Computers aren't out, but they know
they should have communicated it better. But again, it'll be solved shortly. I'm not really worried about it. It's if I would be annoyed if I had one of these machines, but what I'd probably do is eliminate some menu items until it gets fixed.
You know what I would do?
Do tell.
I would use Bartender.
Yeah. Yeah, use Bartender.
And then set it so that it shows extra menu items underneath the regular menu bar.
Yeah. And that's that.
As a matter of fact,
that is the solution. You going to write that up for us?
I better write a note. Bartender tip for Brian.
Yep. Excellent. I like it.
I literally am writing it.
I actually figured. So while you're writing that, what are the things that you said that you were shaking your head at some of the choices they made?
Oh, yeah. So, okay, first, I like that the Thunderbolt 4 ports each have their own independent bus.
Yeah.
That's great because on the previous models, each side is a bus. So you have two ports on a single bus. So you now have three ports. Each one is on its own bus. That's great. Putting the HDMI port on and putting the SD card slot in were, I think, big mistakes. Because it's HDMI 2.0, not 2.1. So if I want to do anything that involves HDMI 2.1, if I want to do more than 60 hertz, 4K, I still need a dongle. So as a professional video editor, you have a wasted port. Because you're still going to need a dongle to hook up what you're actually going to use. And as technology marches on, you have a port that is left behind because you can't update it. It's just what it is.
Yeah, it seems weird. It seems like a $10 savings per machine choice.
It's it seems like Apple pandering to people that are just complaining.
Oh, and, you don't think it should be included at all? If Apple was going to do it, they should have used 2.1.
Well, if they were going to do it, they should have used 2.1, but they shouldn't have done it at all because it's wasted space on the computer.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, we've been using dongles to connect stuff forever. That's not going to change. And for the people that actually need to do what they need as a professional video editor with video out, they're going to use a dongle anyhow. And then that SD card slot, the professionals that need the slot, that's not what they need. They're not using SD cards. And even if they were, they would want a slot that's faster than what's in the computer. So I really feel like both those ports are there just to try and get a vocal subset of Mac users to shut up.
Okay, well then I would come back to, if you're going to include it, do 2.1 or not at all.
And I agree with you. If you're going to do it, it needs to be HDMI 2.1. And it shouldn't have been an SD card slot. If you're going to put a card slot in there, put in a slot that that actually matches up with what professional photographers are using today. Yeah. And but then that's kind of a problem, because now you have to have a much bigger slot, because the types of cards that pro photographers are using aren't as thin as an SD card.
Okay. Yep. Anything else?
I'm disappointed with the loss of the touch bar, because it's a fail on Apple's part from the beginning of the touch bar. Apple never truly supported that feature the way they should have. They never supported developers in really taking advantage of the touch bar in the way they should have. And because they never brought the touch bar to anything other than their laptops, they doomed it from the beginning.
Yeah, it should have been.
That touch bar should have been on Apple's external keyboards for desktops. Yep. And I see that as an unfortunate failure, because the touch bar really had a lot of potential, and Apple completely squandered that.
Yep.
There you go. How's that for bagging on a new computer that I think is actually a really awesome machine? The hardware inside it is crazy.
It is a very exciting machine. All of those complaints are, in my opinion, completely legitimate. But that doesn't change the fact that it's a very exciting machine, and I'm very excited about those processors, the M1 Pro and the
same
M1 Max. I can't wait for the M1 Max Plus that'll be in the iMac probably next year.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was now. I would love to get an M1 iMac with a larger screen. Will it be the M1 Max Plus or the M1 Max Mega Max? M1 Max to the Max. What do you think?
Double Plus Max?
Double Plus Max.
Now, I could see Apple on the Pro machine, the desktop Pro machine, calling it the M2. Just to differentiate it from everything else, but it's all names.
I don't think at this point. Okay, I think it was Dave made the argument that the 27-inch iMac will be updated to something that's probably larger than 27. I think we're all expecting more than 27 inches. Mm-hmm. For that display.
I'm with you.
But that it would be updated without without an event, just by press release. I'm not sold on that possibility, but I guess I could see it happening. If it's going to happen this year, I see it as more likely. Otherwise, I think that means we won't see it until next year.
I'm thinking we won't see it till next year.
Okay. When the iMac is brought over to the M family of processors, I believe that the iMac will be on an M1X. I don't think the iMac will be an M2. I think that the M2 is going to probably be waiting for the Mac Pro update.
Okay, we're actually saying the same things. I just wasn't as clear as you were. I agree. I think whatever iMac we get, that updated iMac, yeah, it'll be on the M1 Max and M1 Pro chips. And the new Mac Pro, that's where we're going to see something that has a new name, like M2. But
I don't see iMacs being limited to 64 gigs of RAM, the larger iMac.
What if you doubled up the system on a chip?
So you get two of them?
You get two of them.
If Apple can do that. That would be exciting if they did. I don't feel like they'll do that for the iMac. But if they don't limit the iMac to 64 gigs of RAM, which is all that the M1 Max will support that we know of. If they don't limit it that way, it would require something like, you know, that's my joking name, the M1 Max Plus or M1 Max. M1 Max.
I like it.
Extreme M1 Max Extreme.
To the max, but double it, plus.
It seems to me that the
iMac now with flavor burst
should go up to 128 gigs. Now I know that Dave, that's something that Dave disagrees with me on. He's still on his whole 8 is enough kick.
If eight was enough, then why did Apple give us 64 gig MacBook Pros?
Yeah, and the MacBook Pros have always had less memory than the larger iMacs. So, again, M1 Max Plus, M1, I guess they could actually just introduce new versions of the M1 Pro and M1 Max that simply have, you know, like different options. That would be well within Apple's past, too. But listen, we're your heart out. I know you got to go.
Well, yeah, but I'm having so much fun talking. But you're right. I do have a heart out.
So, first of all, let me do this. And that is this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything, I'm going to get it down.
One of these days. Here, try this. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine.
If you have anything to comment on, add a question, you can write me at acm@macobserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly, the basis by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And Jeff, tell us where we can find you.
You can find me all over the internet. Mac Voices Live, Tuesday evenings. The Big Show on Thursday afternoons. The Mac Show on Friday mornings. And my YouTube channel, youtube.com/jgamut.
And ACM, whenever we have a sponsor. For a limited time, speaking of which, new users at Coinbase can get $10 free in Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/ACM. Again, that's coinbase.com/ACM for $10 in free Bitcoin, which I just think is nifty as can be. And there's your heart out.
Yeah. That joke never gets old.